Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Rejection, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson. MD Wynn, how are you? What's going on? We have another amazing guest, don't we?
We do, Neil. Our guest today is Howard Bronson. He's both a behavioral therapist and an author. His life's work has been dedicated to heal and empowering others. At the age of 19, he wrote his first book entitled Skiing Without Seeing, designed to teach snow skiing to blind veterans from the Vietnam War. At age 30, he wrote his first bestseller, Good Idea, Now What? Now, this was followed by 14 additional books in the healing and empowering genre. Of these was the book, How to Heal a Broken Heart in 30 Days, and acclaimed bereavement book, Early Winter. Bronson has always been dedicated to uncovering the most factually based information, and in researching his newest book on racism, Speak Up, he was astonished to discover how elusive the truth has become, especially but not limited to the political arena. I said previously, Howard Bronson is the most critically thinking philosopher of the 21st century. And in giving you this information, you're going to find out why today. Howard, it's nice to have you on my program.
Thank you. That's quite a buildup, and I hope I can live up to it, gentlemen.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see how Wynn is kind of explaining that, right? Meaning like how his take on this, on how impressed by you are, he is of you, Howard. So I'm looking forward to gaining information from both of you guys regarding this topic.
Are you still with me, Neil?
Well, it's
yes. No, I just that's as I just yep. said. When yeah. Just go ahead, and I'm just passing it back over to you, Wynn.
Oh, okay. Here we go. So, our topic today, which I have researched from his book, Speak Up: Our Gossipy World and Its Connection to Racism and Mental Illness. The topic is racism. And so, Howard, let's get started. And I want to have a better understanding of what racism is. So could you define it?
Yeah, sure. The current definition essentially is it's a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits, capacities, and produces an inherent superiority of one person over another. And that's part of the problem of why we're not resolving racism, because that definition is so limited. In actuality, and I have to tell you that Merriam-Webster dictionaries is changing their definition of racism after a second grade teacher contacted the company and said the current definition didn't do enough to explain that racism is systemic embedded behavior in the country's institutions, laws, and power structures.
Well, now, when we talk about racism, we're talking about race, and there are different races. Is it only confined to the broad races that we know of, or is it cultural? Is it something more than that?
It's tribal. It goes back thousands of years, where various groups, tribes, would be self-contained for their own protection. And you know, there they would say, watch out for this group or watch out for that group, because there were inherent dangers. But we fast forward today, and to some extent over the past 4 or 5 years, no matter what your political belief is, I don't care, but the past 4 or 5 years, we've been devolving, and instead of talking with each other and working out issues as couples do, and as people do, and as countries do, we are attacking each other. We've gone back to a more primitive state.
Yes, okay. Definitely. We have gone back to a primitive state. The attacking of each other is because of the lack of uncertainty in our world today, Howard. Everyone is uncertain of where we're going, what we're going to do in our lives, more than ever in history.
I completely agree. And what happens is, you know, when we're not sure, let's talk about couples just for a moment. I have 7 books that are out this year, but this is my feature book. But one of the books is a marriage book called How to Make an Impossible Marriage Possible. And the reason I bring that up is because when couples have a dispute, what I will tell you is couples never need to fight. Here's the headline here. Couples never need to fight. They can discuss anything. They can have difficult and hard discussions. But when it breaks down to a fight, nothing productive happens. And what happens in a fight, yes.
And you relate this to the topic of racism.
Precisely. When people see differences, instead of honoring them, talking about them, celebrating them, and seeing the great rainbow, the great color in this world, they attack each other. And this is so poignant right now. We can't help but not touch upon this trial going on right now in Minnesota.
Right. So every day in the news, we hear about racism. Now, why now? Why has it become such a hot topic?
I think because thinking people, sentient beings, realize how primitive this is, that, you know, it's time for people to say, they realize, wait a minute, we all deserve an equal shot. We deserve a level playing field. And what you're seeing, you know, with the riots and all of the tumult is this outrage that we're not respecting each other.
And Howard, you know, it seems like it's not getting any better. So what are we supposed to think and do when time goes by and time goes by and time goes by and we still have all these racist incidents? We have people being killed because of their race. What are we supposed to think?
Well, first of all, we're supposed to think. And one of the examples here is what's happened with the Me Too movement sexuality and respect for women, sexual harassment, respect for women, especially in the workplace. What's happened over the past several years has basically been positive. You've heard a lot of resentment about it. You'll hear a lot of put downs about it, but basically it compelled most men to look at their own behavior, to look at their consciousness and say, wait a minute, I need to be more respectful. I need to make sure that I have the one essential element when I'm dealing with women or anybody else, and that's manners, that's courtesy. So we need to get that same level of thinking into our consciousness about racism, because we all carry some assumptions. We all carry some preconceptions about our fellow human.
And so one of the basic underlying things that's important is respect for other races. Respect is probably one of the critical issues that we need to be thinking about. And you also talk about gossip in your book and its relationship to racism and mental illness. And we may not have time to touch on that topic, but hopefully you'll come back and we can discuss gossip and related mental illness at a later date, because it's such an important discussion to have. But you said in the past, I read someplace that you said, racism is part of our DNA. What did you mean by that?
I mean that it basically has become embedded within us. And this does touch upon gossip and presumptions, that we look at a neighbor and we might say, they have a weight issue or, whatever we have that triggers within us some kind of misassumption or misunderstanding about who they are. Basically, what I'm saying is we're all racist to some degree. And that outrages people. They take umbrage with that. They say, wait a minute, I'm kind to people, I'm decent to people, but we all carry within us this kind of primordial notion of, you know, that we're better than this person, or we're better than these poor people or these suffering people. And what my mission is not simply to talk about racism. You hear the word all the time, racism, racism. My goal is to help us end racism by looking at us all equally.
So would I be correct in saying that your philosophy is, to a certain extent, more or less, the entire population is in some respect racist?
And that's part of the problem. That's why it never really gets resolved, because we touch nerves of this group or that group. And now, unfortunately, you know, with the internet, which can be used in the way that you and that the three of us are using it today to reach millions of people and talk about loving each other, communicating with each other, getting along, resolving differences. Unfortunately, the dark side of the internet has groups that reinforce sometimes the most venal elements of some people. That's why we get these lone gunmen. That's why we get these, you know, crazy groups that we see demonstrating, against other groups. So this is what we really have now, is yet another wake-up call, with the George Floyd trial. This is as important and gaining as much attention as the O.J. Simpson trial did. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah, for sure.
That enough people wake up.
So, Howard, I've question: am I an unconscious racist? And I'd like for you to speak to that, if you want to critically think about your position in this matter. How do you know if you are an unconscious racist?
It's a hard thing to reflect on ourselves and to say, you know, who am I and what, what is my behavior? Is it right? Is it wrong? It causes us to kind of wake up, to be thinking at an even more conscious level as we move through the day, as we watch what we watch on the news, as we look at certain people and say, oh, okay, well, they're that religion, so they think this way. It means we need to look at our humor. I looked at my own humor, because my kids are reading, my book. I have five children. My older kids are reading the racism book right now. And they said, Dad, you know, you used to have all these funny accents when you'd talk to people, you'd make fun. And I hadn't even thought of that. You know, this was years ago. So we all need to kind of take a look at ourselves and say, okay, it's in our humor. It's in our behavior. It's in the way we treat people in our community. It's in, you know, when the gay couple down the street is married, it's when we don't accept them as we accept everybody else, even though they're hardworking, decent, tax-paying citizens, they're humans. We have this thing in us where we only want people like us to be happy, and we don't want the rest of them to be happy. And, you know, we wonder why these incidents happen, like with George Floyd. And they happen because we have looked down upon certain races and people of color. We haven't given them the same educational opportunities that we, for the most part, as the white man, have.
So, Howard, how do we change those things?
We change them by doing shows like this. We change them by writing books that tell people who have a sense of righteousness. Look, change is measured by good intention. It doesn't mean any of us are going to be perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. And we all have to understand the power of saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong that I said this. I made a comment that was inappropriate. Forgiveness is very powerful, as you know, Wynn can go on and on about that. He's a man of faith. We need to, the good people need to speak up.
So if you're a psychiatrist, you have a copy of a book called DMS-5. Psychiatrists use that to be able to charge their patients. It has all the types of mental illnesses in it and their definitions. So you draw a correlation between racism and gossip and mental illness. And so you suggest that most of the stuff can be found in that book. And so therefore, mental illness, however you want to define mental illness, is actually something that you can put your finger on with respect to racism and gossip. Is that not right?
Most mental illness comes from distorted thinking, comes from misunderstanding what the reality is. You'll find, you know, people with really what we would call truly crazy, inappropriate, or irrational ideas who are sometimes exhibiting irrational behavior that makes them sociopathic. Now, we don't have the mental hospitals. They were all basically opened up in the 80s. So if you are making an assumption, a misassumption, a misunderstanding about your fellow human, that's racism, and that's the definition of mental illness. So there's the corollary.
Okay. So you said there's good news. There are some rather elementary steps we can take to address racism and actually eliminate it. Can you tell us about some of those elementary steps?
Well, we've already talked about it to some extent by doing shows like this, by asking people to take a look at themselves, to wake up, and to consider their behavior to their fellow human being. It's learning to create bridges to people you normally wouldn't talk to. It's trying to understand. And again, you know, if we talk about the issue that's current in our news right now, everywhere, what caused the George Floyd murder? I say murder, the alleged murder. What was going on? And this means empathy. We need to learn how to develop empathy where we didn't have it before. What was his history? Did he have the same educational opportunities that other people had? Did he grow up in a repressed, broken family, or was it a solid, tight-knit family? They seem like a loving family. And then Officer Chauvin, I don't know anything about his background. I would say, though, consider the stress and pressure he is under every single day. And when I watched that video and tears were streaming down my face because he had such a cold expression on his face, how did he get there? And how did the, you know, the people that we're oppressing or looking down upon get there? So what I'm calling for is a heightened empathy so we can do a better job of understanding each other, understanding where we came from. I see this every day as a therapist. You need to understand what the background is, what the foundation is. And from that foundation,
exactly,
we can help people restructure and right. We can do better.
So, and it's all about communication, isn't it, Howard? The communication between people, understanding their feelings and sharing so that people really understand the empathy of that person and what they're, how they're feeling.
Well, let's get into communication because, you know, there are words that are bandied about, like racism. And you hear people say, oh, that's all people talk about is racism. Well, you know, there are a lot of people hurting. Now, with communication, people say, well, we need education and we need communication. What is communication? Well, communication is mostly listening. It's mostly hearing what people say. It's listening to their hearts. What is their intent? And when you can take a step back, like in a marriage, and it all branches out from family, couples, husband, wife, to the community, to the world. The fabric is the core of the fabric is the family. That's the core of the thread. So when we say communication, it's not just talking to people and saying, oh, we need to get along and we need to find ways to, you know, treat each other better. It's really understanding. Excuse me. I'm sorry. It's really understanding where they are, where their hearts are at, what their feelings are. You know, how did they get there? I have several clients who've gone through divorces, and this is not to be sexist. I have several female clients who were divorced for years and never really healed from that first divorce. They put their whole heart into it. They put their whole love in it. And they felt so wounded, and they were letting the past, and this is an important point, they were letting the past and the worst moments rob them of their best opportunities today and in the future. So what we need to do is take a look, reflect on our past and say, okay, where did this come from? Why did I make these presumptions? You know, I have other clients who say, well, you know, my father told me that, you know, this race was not, this group was less than me and this group was less. This is what I was taught. You hear that all the time. This is what I was taught. Well, hello, folks. It's time to unlearn things and start evolving and start loving each other.
Howard, your book, Speak Up, got more highlights for me when I was reading it than any other book that I can remember ever. And so that means when I highlight something, it's important. And I'm saying to the people that are listening today that everybody that's listening needs to read Howard's book, Speak Up, and you will find so much good philosophical ideas that have been researched in it. And if you will take them to heart, it will change the way that you feel and the way that you live, and it will change your way of thinking about the world. And other. So, Howard, would you tell the audience today how to get a copy if you want to talk about your website or anything else now, and so that they can be able to do something about this?
Well, first of all, Lynn, thank you so profoundly and profusely for your kindness and your kind comments. And I need to tell our listeners that Wynn Henderson is, if you don't know this already, is the author of, I believe it's 45 books now or 46.
No, actually I'm working on the 45th book right now.
Okay. Okay. So this is coming from an authority. And we need you know, credible and sound authorities. And I just wanted to acknowledge and thank you so very much. Speak Up, which is now in its second printing already, which I'm pleased to announce, is published by Waldorf Publishing. And you can go to Waldorf, W-A-L-D-O-R-F, publishing.com, and you can get your copy of Speak Up. As Wynn will tell you, and as Wynn does in his books, I put everything I had, I put my whole heart into this book. I made it readable. I made it fun to read. I made it understandable. So please go to Waldorf Publishing. Help us to evolve our humanity. My very goal is to help heal this world. That's the theme in my seven books, but this one especially. We start by reaching out and reaching across to each other. Now, I also have another, my own website, which is freeenterprisesolutions.com. That's freeenterprisesolutions.com. And that also, if you want to know a little more about me, or you want to reach me or communicate to me, that has the access to me. I do lots of interviews, which I'm privileged to do, to talk to the world about that old-fashioned 60s hippies notion of, you know, maybe we can get along. Maybe we can reach across. Maybe we can realize that all the families in the world, the 70 million displaced families in the world right now, all have a place, have a right to have a decent life.
Howard, I'm hoping that you will come back and talk about gossip and mental illness. Would you do that for us?
Gentlemen, I'd be honored to do that.
So
awesome. Fantastic.
We've got one aspect of what you have to say done today, which is
when. So we didn't finish up the interview. So
yeah.
We're finished?
No.
Okay.
I'm still talking.
Okay.
So at any rate, we.
Hey, that's a good title for a book. Still talking.
Yeah. As though you or I need to write another book right now. But at any rate, this has been a very valuable conversation that hopefully as many people as possible will be able to hear. And then after that, they'll be able to go get this book, Speak Up, because there's so much information in there that will help you in various aspects of your life that it's a two thumbs up book. Definitely speaking, you ought to get a copy of it. So Neil, did you have any follow-up questions?
No, I mean, I think that the thing that Howard's bringing to the table is that we're missing the point in all of our stress and anxiety in life that we're choosing not to look at our fellow man or woman in the same light anymore, or anyone, based on we're just really fearful of what's happening next in our lives, regardless right. of where we're at. And that this is the biggest problem, that the what if, okay, mm-hmm. are we getting back to normal? Can I trust my other fellow man, especially if I'm not liking the result of what my society has become, especially mm-hmm. with the split down the middle? Instead of just getting to know each individual person and see if they like them, like on a schoolyard, versus looking at all their beliefs, but see if they really connect as a person with each other and understand.
Let me challenge the listeners today to ask them, what single gesture are you going to do today to help heal this world? What single thing are you going to do to a friend, neighbor, community, or a stranger, or someone normally you didn't give a chance to? What are you going to do today to make a difference? I close with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, there's a phrase in it, we can change the world. We can change the world.
Well, this has been Howard Bronson. The book is called Speak Up, and he is a philosopher of first order, and you should follow him and his career, definitely speaking. And it's been a pleasure to have you listening to my show today. It's my sincerest desire for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, safer. I am Reverend Wynn Henderson. I'm an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor. And so I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission, and Truth Just Below the Surface is the longest running single-hosted and produced spiritually based radio internet show in America. It's been continuously running for over 20 years. And I talk to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 plus different forms and about the purpose of your life and finding your mission and how it's going to relate to what type of life that you have. So I would just also say that my most recent book on addiction is called Freedom from Addiction 3, and it's available on Amazon. If you meet three simple criteria, you can heal yourself from any addictive behavior. And this podcast is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. And you spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no spaces, no capitals. And my website is www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And so I'm privileged to be able to have Howard on the show today. And we will bring you another show from him as soon as we can get it produced. Thank you, Howard. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Wynn. Okay, that was, again, Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. And take care, guys.